Bitcoin is still in a bullish uptrend on the Moneyline indicator, as we can see here on the weekly price chart. And if we look back here at the end of November when FTX collapsed, it clearly marks the bottom of the bear market and a long, slow start to the next bull cycle back in January of 2023. So we are approaching a full year or 52 weeks of a Bitcoin bull cycle. And taking a look historically at Bitcoin cycles in this tweet, in 2015, the all-time low was $211. In 2017, the all-time high was $19,000, which was 1,064 days later. In 2018, the low was $3,400, which was 364 days later. Now in 2021, the all-time high was $69,000, which again was 1,064 days later, coincidentally. Then in 2022, the low was $16,000, which again, oddly enough, was 364 days later. So here we are. If this cycle plays out again in 2025, 1,064 days after the low, which would be October 22nd, 2025, will we see a new all-time high? If so, what could it be? If it peaks, what could be the next low? Let me know your random wild guesses in the comments below. So a key date we talked about last week to be mindful of happened this past Wednesday. The last FOMC meeting, or Federal Open Market Committee meeting, of the year, where Jerome Powell, chair of the Federal Reserve, announced their decision about interest rates. And as we predicted together, Fed holds rates steady, indicates three cuts coming in 2024. However, when looking at the federal funds interest rate, the last time the Fed started cutting rates, aside from the COVID black swan or possible pandemic, as we can see here in 2007, before the great financial crisis in 2008. And the same goes for the year 2000. So, Fed rate cuts served as a signal the US economy was headed for a recession in 2007. That might not be the case this time around. Back in 1995, then Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan launched an easing cycle in the second half of 1995 after tightening policy to tame inflation. What happened next? The US economy boomed, with the dot-com bubble still 5 years away from bursting. As a result of the monetary tightening initiated in early 1994, inflationary pressures have receded enough to accommodate a modest adjustment in monetary conditions, the Fed said at the time. That is the exact scenario that could be unfolding right now. If Chairman Jerome Powell cuts rates in 2024, he could simply be fine-tuning the Fed's policy after the most aggressive period of interest rate hikes in its history. And I staunchly disagree. The fiat system is failing. It's in a doom loop. America is now paying more in gross interest on its record $33 trillion debt than its own national defense. Here's who holds the IOUs. Philip Braun, clinical professor of finance at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management, says, "The Federal Reserve owns a lot of government debt," Braun said. "The Treasury does pay interest payments to the Federal Reserve, but then the Federal Reserve turns around and gives it back to the Treasury. That alleviates some of the issues." What in the circle jerk Ponzi scheme does that mean? Well, we explore how the Federal Reserve tries to ruse as a government entity when it's actually a private central bank created by the most powerful men in the US at the time, during a secret meeting on JP Morgan's property, designed to basically enslave the country by issuing currency out of thin air as debt the government and its citizens have to pay interest on. Even though in the Constitution, Congress has the ability to issue interest-free currency, and every president that has tried to wield that power was assassinated. And lest we forget, the main reason the American Revolution happened was because of the passing of the Currency Act by a king bought and paid for by the private Central Bank of England, where they were trying to enslave us the same way we basically ended up being enslaved now. We explore all of that and more in this video you can check out by clicking on the link above. All we need to know about why inflation isn't going anywhere is it's all part of a scheme to keep us poor, dumb, divided, compliant, so globalists can centralize power, control, and authority to restrict our lives, liberties, and freedom. Great. Hello, I'm Crypto Casey, and welcome to another episode of Crypto This Week. We are going to discuss the latest from SEC Chair Gary Gensler, new modifications to Bitcoin ETF applications, real-world crypto adoption, and the Ledger incident. Let's hit it. Please be sure to check out our sponsors, iTrust Capital, Morales Money, and Tangem Wallet. Buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrencies as well as silver and gold tax-free with your own IRA or individual retirement account, or roll over your current 401k with iTrust Capital. Find and trade altcoin gems before they pump with Morales Money, and get access to the Moneyline tool that increases our chances of buying and selling at the right times to take profits, which is 77% off until December 25th using the link below. and invest in your very own cold storage hardware wallet like Tangent Wallet. Their new Tangent Wallet is out now with a ton of cool new features, has a sleek black matte design, is the size of a credit card, multi-currency, multi-chain, and it's by far the easiest wallet to set up and use on the market right now, and is extremely affordable. So scroll down and use links below to access the correct and official sites, as well as redeem any special offers they have for us. Sweet. So what has Gary Gensler, head of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, been up to lately? Well, this week, Gary Gensler was asked about the pending spot Bitcoin ETFs instead of the $26 trillion treasury market, and he gets offended. He's holding the Bitcoin ETF hostage.
Obviously, the commission and the staff of the commission is still hard at work on a number of issues. One of them dealing with a number of filings of spot Bitcoin ETFs. You know, Mr. Chair, I have to ask you this question. There's been a lot.
It's very significant about the $26 trillion treasury market, which is really the base of our entire capital markets.
Yes, that's true. And a few years ago, we discussed how it's the foundation of our financial system, which looks like this. Yes, an inverted card house with, at the bottom, treasury bills that we accumulate and pay mostly to the private central bank, the Federal Reserve. And on top of that, we've got reverse repurchase agreements, which is just banks lending and borrowing treasuries between each other on their balance sheets. We've got real estate, and on top of that, we've got mortgage-backed securities and commodities. And on top of that, we got stocks and then options, futures, and derivatives, otherwise known as legalized gambling.
It's how we fund our government, it's how our Federal Reserve does monetary policy, it's how we maintain the dollar dominance around the globe. And you want to ask me about crypto?
In my defense, Commissioner Ueda also brought up crypto in this open meeting.
Priorities. I mean, the U.S. Treasury market is a very consequential, very important market. Crypto securities are not only much smaller, it's not how we fund our government, it's not how we conduct monetary policy, and for many investors, they've been harmed in that market, and they're being harmed because there's too much non-compliance.
Isn't it ironic how Gensler would rather talk about the importance of what is 100% an elaborate circle jerk Ponzi scheme fronting as some complex system that the average person cannot even possibly begin to understand and fathom, then talk about crypto that uses transparent, immutable, decentralized technological foundations that would expose their circle jerk Ponzi scheme if they use the same technology? That's wild, just wild. And it's also ironic how he talks about non-compliance in crypto and how people have been harmed in the industry, while in the traditional financial sector like credit cards, debit cards, banks, other regulated payment providers like Zelle, sophisticated scams are fooling cautious consumers, costing Americans billions in losses. And not just scams, outright inexplicable errors, glitches, all from huge financial institutions that are presumably compliant and regulated? Wells Fargo customers report missing deposits to their bank accounts. Bank of America customers outraged at money missing from their accounts. Chase customers again report missing money and wrong balances. Boom, zero, nothing. Chase Bank user rages after $236,000 suddenly vanishes from savings. Then he lost account access. Yes, clearly Gensler's priorities are to try and protect a corrupt, closed, centralized, rigged system and destroy an open, transparent, decentralized alternative. I mean, check it out. This week, Gensler's agency, the US SEC, denies Coinbase's push for crypto regulations as unwarranted. The US exchange had formally positioned the agency to start writing comprehensive crypto rules, but after careful consideration, the SEC said no. Brilliant. So what is the SEC doing? What are they waiting for with the spot Bitcoin ETF? Could it be a modification that would essentially let Gensler's Wall Street cronies suppress the price of Bitcoin by creating an artificially higher supply of Bitcoin that meets real demand? Just like how the gold market works? Check it out. BlackRock modifies the structure of its spot Bitcoin ETF to allow authorized participants, mainly Wall Street banks, to create new shares in the fund with cash, allowing them exposure to Bitcoin even without a license to own cryptocurrency directly. And along the same lines this week, First Trust seeks SEC approval for Bitcoin Buffer ETF. The fund is designed to participate in the positive price returns that provide exposure to the performance of Bitcoin. Okay, so what does all this mean? Why would this likely result in the suppression of the price of Bitcoin? Well, we explore this in more depth in this video guide you can check out by clicking on the link above. And just a recap of it for understanding the implications of these recent developments with Bitcoin ETF filings in this video, let's break it down together. Bitcoin was created to be a retail asset for the people, where we could completely control and truly own this new, unique form of property. But in recent years, it has been corrupted by traditional mainstream financial markets and continues to be, evident from this week's new developments. Surprise, surprise. So when demand for an asset like gold, real estate, or Bitcoin is high, and the supply is low, we see the price of the asset increase. When the demand is low and the supply is high, we will see the price of the asset decrease. But there's something very interesting going on here in the case of Bitcoin. Check it out. Wall Street is treating Bitcoin the same way they treat gold, except it's extremely important to realize that in the scenario of gold, Wall Street and the banks have the gold market cornered and can largely control both the physical gold and paper claims to gold. For now. So the long and short of it with gold is that there are more paper claims to gold than actual physical gold secured in vaults for investors. Sure, people can buy and store physical gold themselves. However, most of the gold people own is just a paper or certificate saying they own X amount of gold and it's stored in some vault somewhere, likely in another country. And when considering the relationship of the price of an asset and supply versus demand, imagine if the real demand for gold is being met and satisfied with an artificial supply of gold. Basically, there are more pieces of paper telling people they own gold than the actual physical gold that has been mined and is secured. Right, and that's absolutely how the gold market works. The upper hand Wall Street has in the gold market is they pretty much own, operate, and control all of the clearinghouses in the gold market. So just like with gold, there are currently more paper claims to Bitcoin than actual Bitcoin in circulation. How's it so? Well, with the way centralized cryptocurrency exchanges work, and with the introduction of leverage, margin, and futures trading and ETFs in the cryptocurrency market, basically Wall Street and big institutional investors are applying traditional debt-based financial practices to an equity-based asset. And instead of Bitcoin owning, operating, and controlling the supply of Bitcoin, in the event of a run on Bitcoin, there's absolutely not enough Bitcoin to fulfill real demand because most Bitcoin is actually stored in wallets off of exchanges and out of circulation. So what does this mean? Basically, for every actual Bitcoin that exists on the blockchain, 10 or 50 or hundreds of people could have a claim to that same exact Bitcoin through an ETF, lending, borrowing, leveraging, or simply by leaving their Bitcoin on the exchange. And what was great about the Spot Bitcoin ETF is it was going to force institutions to buy and hold actual Bitcoin for every investor that invests in the fund, therefore decreasing the available supply of Bitcoin on the market over time. Now with these modifications to ETF applications, it would allow Wall Street to essentially dilute the supply of Bitcoin by artificially inflating the supply to meet real demand. And here's another wrinkle with the ETF with dire implications. SEC will likely force cash-create Bitcoin ETFs. Here's why that matters. The decision, if true, would have major implications for the cost of managing each fund, and by extension, the fees passed down to customers. Sponsors like BlackRock have pushed for an in-kind redemption model, by which a registered intermediary transfers Bitcoin to the ETF issuer whenever it must issue new fund shares to meet market demand. By contrast, the SEC seeks a cash-create model, which would require intermediaries to send an ETF issuer cash, which is then used to buy the Bitcoin they need. The added step prevents intermediary broker-dealers from needing to personally handle real Bitcoin, which is a no-no for the regulator. Cash creates are worse for taxes because cash changes hands versus in-kind is simply trade, and no cash exchanges hands. Thus, cash-create-only Bitcoin ETFs are not ideal and screw up one major advantage of ETF structures. So as this develops over the next few weeks and months, we will break down what this means and how this works in more detail. So the long and short of why this sucks for everyone is we pay more unnecessary taxes, and all of this could end with an attempted ban on self-custody crypto wallets. And the only way we can own Bitcoin legally is through an ETF. And when we need to cash out, we pay capital gains taxes, and the only way to cash out would be in the form of a CBDC, or central bank digital currency, where we basically could not have any control over how, when, where, or even if we can spend our money because it would be completely controlled by the government. Which, if you would like to learn more about how a CBDC would be the ultimate form of enslavement, check out this video guide by clicking on the link above. This is why it's so important to make sure we are transferring our crypto off of exchanges to hold in our own cold storage hardware wallet like Tangent Wallet. Seriously, it takes like 90 seconds to set up the wallet and secure it, and then another 60 seconds to transfer the crypto from the exchange to it, safely and securely and easily. Cool. On a lighter note, we have more bullish crypto adoption happening this week as real estate companies explore B2B cryptocurrency payments. Transaction speed is one of the top reasons real estate firms cite when asked about their preference for different payment methods. That's why 1 in 5 US real estate companies are planning to use cryptocurrency for B2B payments next year, as per Payments Intelligent data. Nice. And one of the most important types of developments we need in crypto to drive mass adoption is ease of use, which is coming around faster than we think. Riverlink launches, allowing users to send Bitcoin by text. Riverlink allows users to send Bitcoin globally via text, simplifying and making Bitcoin transactions more accessible across various messaging apps. Riverlink aims to build on the incredible rails that Bitcoin offers by allowing you to send Bitcoin to anyone over a text message, email, or direct message, said River CEO Alex Leishman. We reimagined the Bitcoin transaction experience, embracing the simplicity of a user-centric app with Bitcoin's ethos of an open network. This flexibility ensures that recipients can claim their Bitcoin securely and conveniently, regardless of their jurisdiction or technical know-how. Simply enter the amount of Riverlink, text it to your friend, and they can claim the Bitcoin to any wallet, says Duzon. This experience is truly frictionless, interoperable, and open, the way Bitcoin was always intended to be. Amazing. Let's wrap things up with a quick look at what happened with Ledger Connect's library hack, and three important things to know and do that will help us protect our crypto investments from these types of events. This is from a letter straight from the CEO of Ledger of what we need to know. December 14th, 2023, Ledger experienced an exploit on Ledger Connect Kit, a JavaScript library to connect websites to wallets. The industry collaborated with Ledger to neutralize the exploit and try to freeze stolen funds very quickly. The exploit was effectively running for less than 2 hours. This exploit is currently being investigated. Ledger has filed complaints. It will help affected individuals try to recover funds. This exploit did not and does not affect the integrity of Ledger hardware or Ledger Live. The exploit was limited to third-party dApps, which use the Ledger Connect kit. Okay, so here are three things we can do to avoid these types of events. One, diversify crypto investments among multiple wallets that use different approaches in order to diversify risk. This is new speculative technology with a ton of risks like hacks, glitches, hardware failures, coding failures, etc. And rule of thumb I follow is where you have greater sums of crypto, do not connect those wallets unnecessarily with third-party dApps. Have your long-term hold wallets where you only transfer crypto to and from it without connecting to decentralized applications, and have wallets that you do use to connect, where you keep bare minimum amounts of crypto in order to do what you want to do. Cool. Two, when you are done interacting with a dApp, revoke permissions so the wallet is disconnected from the dApp completely. And three, anyone that was exposed to the risk of getting their Ledger drained signed a transaction that effectively drained their wallet. And it could have been avoided if they had this free extension we always talk about on the channel called Wallet Guard. It would have simulated the transaction, warned you that signing the transaction would drain your wallet, and it would have protected you. I've been using Wallet Guard over the past year and it's been working great, popping up warnings, helping check everything out before transacting, so it's definitely worth checking out and giving it a go, whether we are new or experienced in the space. For example, if we are interacting with smart contracts like for minting NFTs, when accessing the site, Wallet Guard's phishing protection layer executes and warns you if the website might be harmful, if it was created recently or has a low trust score, and if you proceed to do so with caution. And if we do proceed, before attempting to verify a transaction with our wallet, a second layer of protection is executed with a clear human-readable warning about what exactly will happen if you decide to proceed with the transaction, like if it is going to drain your wallet instead of actually mint an NFT. This feature alone would have saved me from losing over $20,000 when minting an NFT on a fake lookalike website back in the last bull cycle. Absolutely insane. It can also detect and will notify you if the site is making multiple attempts to interact with your wallet, trying to hack and steal your funds. So Wallet Guard is a must-have as a crypto investor, so scroll down and use the link below to access the correct and official site to download Wallet Guard's free extension to protect your wallet and crypto assets today. Seriously, it takes like 10 seconds, so use the link below and install it now. Awesome. If you would like to learn more about how Wallet Guard works and how this free browser extension can protect our wallets when interacting with Web3, check out this video. If you'd like to learn how to use Tangent Wallet and transfer crypto off of exchanges to our own cold storage hardware wallet, check out this video. And to get your very own Tangent Wallet, click on the link on the screen. Like and subscribe for more. Be safe out there.